welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am here joined by my amazing co-host, Ms. Michelle Benoit. Michelle, I'm so excited to be here today. I love the topic that we're going to be discussing. I think everybody carries some level of burden with this, and I'm so glad that we can address God's mind versus our mind and how we get stuck in this place. You know, sometimes when we divide our mind from God, we think that we're able to put our hand on our own problems or raise up our own standards, and that's actually going to be a lasting solution. But for this specifically, it's not, because this is a big heart issue.
Do you want to tell them what we're talking about today?
I'm building up the excitement.
Dun, 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 dun.
Today, we are talking about the issue of forgiveness.
Okay. Who hasn't been hurt by the actions or words of another person? Perhaps a parent constantly criticized you when you were growing up. A colleague sabotaged a project, made sure you didn't get the credit. Your husband had an affair. Ah, you've had a traumatic experience, physical, emotional abuse. These wounds, we get it, can leave lasting feelings of resentment, bitterness, anger, and sometimes even hatred.
Yes.
What does God call us to do? Forgive. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to spend the whole week. Mm-hmm. This is a whole week's topic talking about this.
I think it's necessary. You know, and I love those examples that you mentioned, because these are actual challenges that people face all of the time. I read a quote that I want to read to everybody, and it really stuck with me about forgiveness. It says, "Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me."
Wow.
When I read that, I was stunned, because that's where we get very stuck. We can say, apart from God's forgiveness, no, I want revenge. No, I want this person to pay. No, I want this person to hurt just as much as I did. Or I want to hurt them by purposely not forgiving them. Sure. We can withhold forgiveness. But when we think about the true root of forgiveness and we apply it to ourselves and how much we need it, then it's a different story. We want to be forgiven, but we want to withhold forgiveness towards other people. And this is why we need God's help, Michelle, with this issue. Forgiveness, I think, is one of the hardest things for all of us to address, because there's always some quiet chamber in our heart of something that we really don't want to forgive. And you know what? I think that a lot of times people confuse forgiveness with being an excuse that somebody who hurt you can get away with it. I think this is one of the number one things people probably dislike about Christianity, even though it's not true. And God doesn't ever minimize sin. He's just made a way that he can love us beyond it.
Amazing. In Rick Warren's well-known book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and if you haven't read that, you should read it.
It's a great book.
It is awesome. He explains that people are reluctant to show mercy because they don't understand the difference between trust and forgiveness.
Hmm.
Forgiving someone means letting go of resentment, giving up any claim to be compensated for the hurt or the loss that we've suffered. We know 1 Corinthians 13:5 says love keeps no record of wrongs.
Hmm.
But trust, on the other hand, has to do with future behavior. It will take time to rebuild or build. He says, if someone hurts you repeatedly, you are commanded by God to forgive them, but you're not expected to trust them unconditionally. You're not expected to continue allowing them to hurt you. Depending on a situation, you may need time to heal.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that point, because there are so many instances in our relationships where even if you do forgive them and it's genuine, the relationship is just never the same again. We can get hurt so badly. And just like you mentioned, we do love with suspicion after that, even though Paul encourages us, you know, you're supposed to be loving without record. You know, love never fails. You know, these are things that we know. This is the true definition of love. But this is also why we need God's help. We can't love God's way without God's help. And then I think after we have finally reached this internal milestone of forgiveness, we still need wisdom okay, God, how close should this person and I be? Should I trust them all over again with my feelings, with my heart, sometimes with my future? It's difficult.
With my children.
With my children. But I like what you said. We're commanded to forgive, right? I was reading an article by a Dallas Theological Seminary graduate, pastor, teacher, Robert L. Deffenbaugh. And the name of the article is The Fundamentals of Forgiveness. And he says, forgiveness is a vital part of the Christian experience. Forgiveness does not seek to minimize sin, but to neutralize it, right? To make it ineffective. And he uses these illustrations focusing on Joseph and the betrayal of his brothers. And when I reread that story in Genesis chapter 45, I just thought to myself, my gosh, the moment where he sends everybody out and he just has to weep. That is the burden that a lot of us are carrying every day. We don't want to weep before God. We don't want to fall apart. We don't want to be that vulnerable. But oftentimes, it's that cleaning of the soul. It's that receiving of God's renewal and restoration. It can't be that a man is the one responsible for you really being able to forgive. But we have these definitions that we try to uphold. And we say, well, if you really want me to forgive you, you can X, Y, Z.
Oh, wow.
You know?
This is an incredible timing for this week on forgiveness. Tune in. Keep tuning in every day. You're going to get a different part of this message. But the holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas.
You went there.
Getting together with family. Well, we have to go there. It just seems like it's God's perfect timing.
It is.
Family is going to come. Let's clean house now. Let's clean out our soul's refrigerator now. So that when they come, we don't have anything stinking or growing mold in the back.
Amen. Amen.
Let's talk about what forgiveness is not. It's not sweeping things under the rug. You know, you see someone on TV, this Christian lady forgives the killer of her son, you know, and you just think, oh, well, she's like part doll, right? How plastic is this? But it's not. It's not sweeping things under the rug. It's not forgetting.
Right.
You know, Joseph did not forget. 20 years later, he said, I am Joseph, your brother who you sold.
Yes, he acknowledged what happened, but he didn't leave it there, right?
So good. Forgiveness is not approval, not excusing, not justifying, not pardoning.
Right.
You know, you may have to testify at their trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still part of forgiveness. It may not be reconciliation. You know, you may forgive, but you don't have to be friends with the girl who slept with your husband.
I don't think I would be.
No, it's not denying. It's not blindness. It's not a refusal to take sin seriously. Sin is serious and costs Jesus its life. It's not pretending, walking around like Susie Christian. Oh, no, I'm not hurt. I've forgiven them. It's a point. Studying for this was exhausting.
It was for me as well.
Oh my God.
But I also think too, this is why we need to be rehearsing God's word, Michelle, because as we get hurt, which I think we need to do a better job too, referencing also what you said about the holidays coming up, I think we need to plan for someone that we love or somebody close to us to fail gravely every time we begin building relationship with them. If we were to think ahead, you're not going to know specifically, but you have to take into account that just like you, people are going to fail you. As we're all learning to love, we're going to fail. So rather than wait for the other shoe to drop, so to speak, why don't you say, I'm going to ask God to help me love this person, incorporating how they're going to fail me between now and the end of this relationship.
This is some deep stuff, Jasmine. I don't know if I'm ready to go
I'm just
there.
Saying, I really thought about this because growing up, I would watch different adult relationships fall apart after one huge fight. And sometimes I would say, you know, this person was part of our family. They were at different sports games. They were at band concerts. And now I don't even know if I'm going to see them ever again. And sometimes, like you said, it does have to be the case. But what if there was another side of it where I was sat down and I was told, listen, this thing that people do, this failure, it's not going anywhere. So part of learning to love people, even outside of our family, is incorporating the fact that that failure is coming closer and closer and preparing your heart now for responding like Christ.
I'm going to have you teach a class to prospective brides.
No. No, thank you.
In preparing for this, I read the book Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. Pastor Schaller has mentioned it before.
Okay.
It's a phenomenal book.
Wow.
It's a deep digging book.
Okay. All right.
Well, what is forgiveness? You're being aware of what someone has done. You're forgiving them. You are choosing to keep no records of wrongs. You're not rehearsing this in your brain. Mm. You refuse to punish, and that means personally. They may have to pay a price.
Yes.
In our justice system.
Yes.
And you're not running around telling people what they did.
Right.
You may, and this is what R.T. Kendall said, choose to tell one person and only for therapeutic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
He said, be merciful, because mm-hmm. the Lord said, blessed are the merciful. In Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doeth good to his own soul. You're going to forgive for your own sake.
Yes.
You're going to learn to be gracious. You don't have to tell them.
Right.
Don't be running up to people. Don't be calling them. Don't be sending them emails. I forgive you for what you did to me in eighth grade in 1962.
I have actually seen that. I've seen people get text messages and they say, you know, I just want you to know that I let you go today. I let it go today.
Oh,
and that
my.
Person is reading it saying, this happened like 7 years ago. Wow. I'm glad you feel better about it. I have moved on.
Forgiveness is between you and God, unless that person comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness doesn't require repentance as a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen to Jesus on the cross. He didn't wait until they all repented and said they were sorry and guilty and full of shame.
Right.
No, he said, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
You know,
but I do think, would you say, Michelle, that it makes it more difficult of a situation when you know a person is not repentant, even though it's very clear that the reason why you're expecting them to be sorrowful is not happening? It could be facts, like facts. You did something wrong. I am calling you out. And so now this is the part where you say, yes, I was wrong. I'm sorry. And that's the part that's not happening.
You know, I always give people 24 hours. Things can happen.
Okay.
I can get hurt. I go home. I think about this. I pray. I wait for 24 hours, and I often get a phone call, but not that often. Maybe
okay.
1 out of 10 times.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or they don't call, or they don't say anything. And I just say, oh, they don't know what they did.
Mm.
It's not up to me to open their eyes.
Yes.
It's up to the Lord.
That's true.
You know,
that's
I used true. To confess all the time, my mother was such a screamer.
Oh.
I was in my 50s before I wondered why. Why was she always screaming? Who was she screaming at? My dad? No, my sister? No, it was me. Why was she screaming at me? I was naughty. It was me.
But you know what? I think that points to something that's very important. You know, sometimes when somebody holds a grudge against you or somebody judges you for something that you've done, I do think that it does bring about a little bit more of a peace in the situation when you are acknowledging, hey, you know what? This made me look really bad. I'm sorry that you had to see it, but I am working on this. I actually would describe that definition as being a mom. Because I think there are so many things that rise out of you. I even heard one author, there's a book called Humble Mom by Ann Sokol. And she said when she was learning what it meant to truly be sanctified in Christ as a mother, a growing mother, she said, I realized that there was a monster unleashed within me. You know, and we don't want to say it. We don't want to say that. We want to have these images of us rocking the baby and being so easily forgiving. But you know what? I think a daily forgiveness, even towards our children, is something that we need to consider.
Sure.
Even if it's something very minimal, you made me late today.
Sure.
Or you dropped something that was important to me today. Or I was trying to help you and you grossly offended me today with this sarcastic attitude. It's not the solution that you tell the person how they wronged you and then they shape up and say, okay, well, now that I know what upsets you, I'm going to make sure I don't do that again. We don't have that capability. We don't. We have good intention.
No.
But isn't that true forgiveness, like you're saying, when I see that you are incapable of certain things or that God is still working on you in many areas, and I offer that forgiveness to you by faith anyway, and all my discomforts I work out in prayer. Because I want to be like Christ as I have this relationship with you.
Beautiful. You know, forgiveness is not a full pardon. You can forgive a pedophile, but you don't put them in charge of the nursery.
Right, absolutely.
You know, there's you set boundaries mm-hmm. for them, for mm-hmm. their safety.
Yes.
And for your safety mm-hmm. and for the safety of the innocent.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not this just blanket pardon that everybody gets.
Right, right. And, you know, I think there's something to be said about the fact that, you know, when Christ does mention repentance in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, you know, Peter is preaching and he's talking about if you're going to come to Christ, there is forgiveness available for you, but you do need to acknowledge how you've been wrong.
Yes.
You do need to turn away from the sins through repentance. And then after you've turned away from the sin, you do need to turn towards God. Right? Away from the sinful actions or behavior. It's not just something verbal. It does require something active, and we need God's help to do it. But that's how the cleansing begins, right? That's how things become operative, not just by you saying, oh, I forgive, but you're really meeting this condition. God says, hey, you need to acknowledge and be humbled by the fact that you are sinful.
Yes.
You do. Then yes. we can make some progress because forgiveness is on the other side for you.
Beautiful. Jesus said in Luke 11, he's teaching the disciples to pray, and he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is in debt to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's assuming you're going to hurt someone.
Right.
Forgive us our sins.
Right.
It's assuming people are going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
well, what if they don't, like you said, show the slightest twinge of regret or
right.
sorrow? Are you off the hook?
Mm.
I'll forgive you when you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm.
no one said sorry at the cross. It's the second time I'm repeating it because mm. you needed to hear that. And I needed to hear that.
I need to hear that.
Well, you know, the purpose of this is to get rid of bitterness. How do we root out bitterness mm-hmm. in our hearts? Well, forgiveness is the spade
yes.
that roots it out.
Yes.
And we want our ultimate purpose is that we are one with the Father.
Right.
The root of bitterness will grow up and ruin our relationship with God, mm-hmm. and we will feel pretty self-righteous while we're doing it.
Oh, absolutely. I think we can live there, Michelle. We can plant a garden there. And I love what you said. You know, when you mean the I'm sorry in the way that I think you should mean it, then my forgiveness for you will be real. I mean, all of that is very self-focused. When we divide forgiveness from the cross, then it starts becoming its own thing. And it's not rooted in love. It's rooted in manipulation. It's rooted in selfishness. It's rooted in my own knowledge or what I consider wisdom. But true forgiveness apart from God is not real forgiveness. It has a timeline and it has other conditions that a lot of people can't meet. What about relating to each other on a human level and saying, hey, listen, I would need forgiveness if I messed up in this way. And I'm not going to be the first to cast the stone just because I see just how raw your sin nature is. A lot of times we see that about ourselves, but nobody else sees it. So then we can walk around with that self-righteous hat. Well, you don't know what I've done. So because I can see what you've done, I get to make you feel bad. But Christ sees it all.
You know, husbands and wives can fall into the trap. We see each other's flesh on a daily basis.
Yes.
You know, who leaves hair in the sink? You know, who's got socks on the floor?
I am so guilty of
this. If you think about it, if after the song service one day they posted a list of your sins on the screen,
mm-hmm.
would you want that?
Mm.
No, mm. no one. We all have skeletons that, yes, we've asked God's forgiveness, but we still don't want people to know.
Right.
And God doesn't tell.
Right.
God doesn't tell.
Right.
Now we have to mention forgiving God. As was mentioned last night in service, Mary and Martha sent Jesus a message. Hey, our brother Lazarus, the one whom you love, is ill. And he waited two more days.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm.
Really?
Mm.
The creator of the world, he has the ability to stop time. He did it in the Old Testament. He can heal all disease. He can raise people from the dead. But sometimes he says no.
Right.
No. Can we handle that? Sometimes he lets someone die. Sometimes he lets us miscarry. Why? Mm-hmm. Can we still even be friends with him? Can we trust him? Mm. Well, it's Romans 8:28. We have to give him time to work all things together for good.
Yes, I love that. And you know, I think about Joseph's response again in Genesis chapter 45. As soon as he revealed himself to his brothers, he said, "Do not be upset. What you meant for evil, God has turned to good so that I could be here to preserve your lives." And what a perspective, Michelle. This is difficult, though. This is difficult when you are just in pain and you are completely detached, I want to say, internally from God in that moment. You're not thinking about raising your hands. You're crying. You're crying, you're angry, you're yelling, you're trying to make sense of it all because you feel yourself falling apart. But then again, just like we go to God's truth when we need an answer to a question or when we're confused, you still go to God about every aspect of your life. You don't know why you're here in all its totality. You know that you're here for God's glory and you know you have a call on your life and you have a purpose, but you don't know the details. We need to go to our Maker for the details. And so, of course, that means we cry with him. You know, I've definitely heard and seen instances where people have yelled at him as well because the relationship is true and transparent. God can handle that. God is not going to sit there in offense because he sees your humanity coming out. He made you human. But it is difficult. This is something that keeps a lot of people away from the church, I think.
Sure.
Years ago, this happened. I don't think it should have happened. And I'm tired of people saying it's God's will. Mm. It's God's plan. It'll all come together.
Yeah, don't say stuff like that.
Yeah, I really think you need to be wise about those open wounds.
I love you and I'm praying for you.
Yes.
Leave it at that. Mm-hmm. How about self-forgiveness?
Oh, yes.
This whole weekend of preparing for this, there were some things. Something happened 37 years ago that came right up to the surface when I was studying. I made a mistake at a party about the food. I was in charge of the food and it was terrible.
Oh.
I have not forgiven myself for 37 years about this. And I had to have a come to Jesus moment about this. Like, okay, Michelle, really? Really? Who's thinking about this today?
I know. But you are.
I was. It was this jar of moldy something in the back of my soul's fridge.
Oh.
And I took it out. And the Lord ministered to me, "Have you ever gone to a party where the food was terrible?" And I said, "I don't remember. You know, if it's not what I like, I'll eat a cracker or there's usually some cheese or hey, maybe there's cake at the end.
Okay.
We'll just have two pieces." And God said, "Well, honey, it's the same thing for you."
Mm.
You know, people don't remember. He goes, "It's not, would you let yourself off the hook?"
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we can really, just like you did, we can say, okay, this is really unnecessary. I can't believe I'm still mad about this. Why am I still hurting? Have you noticed that a lot of that self-talk, it doesn't really work? It doesn't work. It's not the same as receiving something from God about the issue. Now, I know sometimes we have moments where we say, you know, snap out of it. But you know what? You're dependent on God. And you hurt when you hurt, and you have your own natural bent. And maybe something that bothers you wouldn't bother me, but that doesn't mean I should minimize how it's bothered you.
Sure.
You know, and God doesn't do that. He doesn't say, "Really, Michelle, you're talking to me about food from the party?"
No, he spent time explaining things to me and helping me get out of victim mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, self-forgiveness breaks the bonds of negativity you have to yourself.
Yes.
You know? All right, everything is not back to normal, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have I learned how to throw a party? Yes, I have. If I had to do food this weekend, which my family is coming, we're going to be cooking a lot of meals and having a lot of fun.
Oh.
I have learned the mistakes you made in your 20s, in your 30s. Sit down with the Lord.
Yes.
Go over them. Drag out all the old dirty laundry mm-hmm. with the Lord mm-hmm. and let yourself off the hook.
Mm, that's awesome. Yeah, we need it. We need it. And we need to remember that God wants to be that close to us, right? He wants to be the best friend that we can talk to about anything, even beyond our best friend on the earth. And I love that, Michelle, because we are going to respond to that invitation if we're in the right mind with Christ, that he cares. What does he say to us in Philippians? Pray about everything. Worry about nothing, right? He wants to hear about everything that's bothering you. Because like you said, that bitterness and that resentment, it takes on its own life in your heart. And even when you're not expecting it, things can just be a trigger. And all of a sudden you're jealous, you're angry, or like you said, you're rehearsing it all over again. And that's usually a big indicator for whether or not we can tell if it's still bothering us. Does that wound feel fresh all of a sudden, even though it happened when I was 7 or 8? It feels like it just happened to me.
Sure.
God and I have something that I need to pray about and hear from him about.
That's part of what Pastor Schaller talked about years ago, removing those buttons that Satan can push. And some of this unforgiveness, we would be remiss if we didn't say it could have a demonic component. You know, that our memory of it is being, our trigger is being energized by the other kingdom. You know, in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 17, we see David's son against him gathering an army, gathering counselors, and he's got Ahithophel, which used to be David's counselor, on his side. And Ahithophel is for hitting David, hitting him hard, hitting him fast. He says, I will even go lead. This is a priest. This is a counselor.
Wow.
And he wants to be the army's general. And it says, when he saw his counsel was not followed, he got in his car, went home, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died. What? Where? How did this? Oh, then you find out later he's Bathsheba's grandfather. You know, we may forgive somebody for how they hurt us, but it's very hard to forgive how they hurt our kids or grandkids. He never forgave David for the affair and the mess that happened. Everyone knew about it. If we know about it, they know about it. It caused him to commit suicide. Let's back away from that ledge. All right. Let's not be controlled by our negative thoughts. Let's focus on being stronger. The sad thing is, Ahithophel could have weathered the storm, lived, and gotten to see Solomon, his great grandson, be on the throne.
And you know what? I love that. I love that you're emphasizing that this is the power that not forgiving, whether it's yourself or another person, this is the power and kind of the whirlwind that it spins you in. It will be a constant cycle in your mind of, this is all life is now. This is all life is now, you know? And you have to remember, beyond how you feel, that there is something extremely supernatural about forgiveness in Christ.
Amen.
So even if you can't make sense out of it, even if you don't think you deserve it, that doesn't mean it's not coming for you, that it's not available to you. And you know, I asked a question once, Michelle, in a Bible study years ago, because we were talking about the importance of knowing the word. And I asked a question, I said, what is our memory for? I know that we have a memory and that it can be very powerful, but I have lived on both sides so far. I've lived on the side of remembering things I wish I didn't remember. And now I'm trying to remember the things you're telling me about God. So what is my memory for? And she said, your memory is so that you can remember who God is.
Beautiful.
That's what it's for. And that's what we have to remember when that rehearsing begins. Who is God? What he says is true beyond how I'm feeling. This is a projection. It's a very harsh one. But I can live in the realities of what the word is telling me instead, as best I can.
Beautiful. Right? We've got a great comment from Lisa LaVenture on Facebook.
Hi, Lisa.
She says, you know, we are called to grow in grace and humility as we help each other in graceful communication, empathy. Beautiful. She says, relationships are the constant work of seeing love toward each other with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Wow, that's awesome.
You can
forgive
somebody and never choose to see them again. You can unfriend them. You can unfollow them. You can block them because forgiveness frees you.
Yes.
It takes your power with God back and the energy and the emotion you've invested in a situation is now free for God to help you grow and develop. You're going to have better emotional, psychological, physical, even spiritual health.
Yeah.
You know, anxiety, anger, depression, high blood pressure, undue stress cause a lot of physical reactions.
Wow.
How are you sleeping? You know, if you can't sleep, why?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think it's really interesting too, Michelle, that the paradox in forgiveness is that we can very easily think all the reasons that we need it. And then when it applies to us receiving it, we're saying, oh yes, please bring on the mercy, bring on the grace, bring it all on. But then when it's time to give forgiveness to someone else, especially something that truly devastated you, that's when we start dividing off mentally. And the thing we have to remember about that is when it's not sourced in God, you don't see that there's a part two to the situation. And only through the eyes of God could you see something wrong being used, like Joseph being in prison, being used for something good in the end, right? In the end, there was another side, and Joseph ended up blessing many, including his brothers, right? He was able to release himself of all of the sadness. He forgave. He let that forgiveness be active, you know? But this is very true that we have to remember God can accomplish good through wrong things or through hard things, sure. You know, through hanging on the cross, we have the salvation for humanity. But many people could easily look at that and say, why did he do that? Why would he go up there and die for people spitting on him, yelling at him, wanting nothing to do with him? But he did not focus on that. He focused on the other side. I have to go through this horrible, devastating thing because there is another side to it. And yes, both of those aspects apply to knowing me and understanding me. So just when you think it's wrong, sometimes I think we can reach out too quickly and say, oh my gosh, this situation is awful. Let me get my hands on it. Let me control it. Let me get it back in order. And God is saying, let this happen.
Sure.
Let this happen, not just for the other person, but for you. Because in order to truly learn how to forgive, you're going to be put in a position that truly requires Christ's forgiveness.
You know,
and it's going to be hard.
I agree. We see Joseph as an amazing type of Christ,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't start out that way.
Mm-hmm.
He was a foolish kid mm-hmm. running around in that coat of many colors,
yep.
You know, telling his brothers and his dad and his mom his dreams.
I know.
Everyone was bowing down to me. You want to hear more about it? It's like, no, shut up, Joseph.
And even when I read that to my son, he was like, that was kind of proud.
You know, that had to be worked out of Joseph. And unfortunately, this is how God let it happen.
Mm.
But also in his brothers, you know, mm-hmm. the minute he became the ruler of Egypt under Pharaoh, he didn't run and call his brothers up. He waited.
Right.
20 years went by. In those 20 years, the boys who went home with the torn, bloody coat mm-hmm. said, oh, do you think this is your son's knowing full? They fooled their father. He mourned for years,
yes.
for 20 years.
Yeah.
But then God was teaching Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Judah
yes.
lost two sons during those 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like God was saying, really? You don't think it's a big deal that your dad lost one child?
Mm.
He didn't even lose him, but that he thinks he does?
Right.
Well, let's see how it is for you twice.
Mm.
He lost two children.
Mm.
But then he's in a place where when Joseph says, I'm going to take one of you in prison, Judah's like, no, no, no.
Yes.
I'm there. I'll
that
go.
Character. Oh my gosh. When I really reread that, I said, wow. Like, are these the same boys?
No.
These are not the same boys. And I think we have to choose that. We have to choose whether or not we're going to remain the same. And we have to look at ourselves and say, 15 years from now, do I still want to walk by her and secretly be hating her guts? Like, is that something that God has for me 15 years from now? And how does that hold me back from forgiving other people?
Beautiful.
You know?
You know, with, again, the holidays coming up, are you still holding on to what your kid brother did when he was a teenager?
Mm.
Really? He hasn't grown?
Mm.
I think you haven't opened your eyes. Forgiveness is a commitment to change. I'm going to change mm-hmm. how I think about these people.
Yes, yes.
You know,
whether or not they've grown, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you see them and it's like, wow, we really are the same, aren't we? But you know what? God's glory is in you. You are not the same. You know that. And even if everybody doesn't morph into the person that you think they should by the end of the dinner, I almost think that's better, Michelle, because it really grows you up in Christ. I'm going to learn to love you just as you are, because that's where God met me. And that's where he still meets me. you know, and it's difficult. No one is minimizing the difficulty, right? We're not saying excuse it, you know, turn the other cheek. We're not saying that because sometimes it is just too difficult to do that. But what I can do is fellowship with God and ask him to show me who you are through his eyes as I sit across from you at this table. And maybe I will blow your mind and I will be blown away by the amount of genuine love that I have that I did not facilitate, but it was real and that person felt it and something now is different about the relationship.
Beautiful. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Mm. God has a list on each one of us if he wanted to remember it. Mm. See, God doesn't even think about our trespasses
Amen.
And sins.
Thank God.
It's incredible.
Yes.
Well, what happens if I can't forgive someone? If I take some quiet time today driving home from work or after supper doing the dishes and something bubbles up, you know, what do I do?
You know, I think this is a really important question because as much as what we're saying brings people back to focusing on Christ, is sometimes the situation is just so heavy. It was so devastating, so heartbreaking that you know what the Word of God says. You might even speak on forgiveness beautifully, but in your heart, you just cannot unlock that portion of pain and give it to God. You don't want to give it to anybody. Maybe it's become a part of you now. I just function like this. This is a big cane for me. I need it so that I know that I have some sort of control left in the situation. And isn't that how we remain involved? It's almost like we feel like if we apply forgiveness, we're saying, I'm okay with what happened. And that's just not true.
No.
It's just not true. You know, I think it's definitely a moment where we have to go to a different place in God, perhaps that we've never gone before. And we have to ask him to become real for us in the depths of us, right? Search me, oh God, and minister to me differently in this area.
You know, forgiveness, we're not saying it's easy, but it brings you into a situation, okay? God is giving you an opportunity on a silver platter, number one, to get close to him.
Amen.
To get close to his heart, to see things from his point of view. This is a gift, all right? Yeah, it wasn't fun and God didn't like that someone hurt you, but it happened because we all have free will. We're not puppets.
Right.
We don't want to be. He doesn't want us to be. So they hurt you. But now you can practice empathy. You can say, God, could you just turn this so I could see this from their point of view?
Yes.
And I remember thinking about someone and like I was so angry with them and so mad at them. And God said, oh, they're jealous of you. I was like, oh, no, they aren't. They're the one. They've got it all. And God showed me, no, look what you have that they don't have. And it broke my heart for them. It released all the anger and the pain I had, just like, oh, wow.
Right.
You know, empathy. It doesn't come naturally.
No, it absolutely doesn't. And, you know, sometimes because we know so much about ourselves, Michelle, we don't even think through that perspective. We say, look, I know all my faults. I know how imperfect I am. I know all the ways I need to grow. So maybe the things that you admire, you only know half of the story. So because I don't agree with whatever about me is causing you discomfort, I don't think that your jealousy or your envy or your negative attitude towards me is justifiable. But just like you're saying, you have to step outside of yourself and then turn the tables. If you were without what they think you have, would you really be able to strongly go up there, pat them on the back, high five them, and be 100% genuine about it all the time? I don't think so.
No, I'm not that nice.
I mean, you could fake it, but at the same time, it's like, what does God want? He wants you to learn to say, I wish things were different, but I trust God for what I have and for who I am. And that is deliberate. And so we can't give God these attributes as though, well, maybe he did this because I'm this, or maybe God did this because he wasn't being intentional here. everything about God has purpose. Everything about you has purpose, right? And everything about the past and whatever that situation is, just like you said, has a purpose. And if the sole purpose is that you and God know each other better, and that's genuine, that is such an awesome gain for him. Right?
So worth it.
An awesome gain for you, because you're learning what it means for God to have a ministry to you and for you to have a ministry to God.
So worth it. With the holidays coming up, you may be thinking of someone who has passed,
mm-hmm.
and they hurt you, and there's no chance to confront them or to tell them, you know, to reconcile.
Yes.
Well, you can spend time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgive my dad. I remember as a teenager railing against my dad, and God spoke to my 18-year-old unsaved heart and said, he has no capacity to love you.
Wow.
And I sat there, 18 years old, not even saved, and thought about his life, how he had grown up from the Depression. He wasn't the first. He wasn't the last child. He wasn't the favorite. He was the other.
Right.
You know, his other brothers and sister were all those things.
Wow.
And I saw my dad in such a different light. You can't pour a gallon of milk out of a 2-ounce pitcher.
You can't.
You just can't. And sometimes we forgive people and let them off the hook because they just couldn't do any better.
Yes.
Leave her alone. She's done what she could.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said, you know,
I love that, you know, because we all love the best that we can, but we still all love from a place of brokenness. You know, it's just the truth. And what an amazing rhema. You didn't even know you were having one. You're 18 about your dad. But it's so important, you know, for us to really look at the fact that everyone is struggling with something. Everybody, even the person you think has it all together, you know, nobody has it all together, you know, and that's why we need Christ and we need mercy. Even in Colossians 3:13, it's like Paul knew that this church needed to hear this because this is a vital part of us loving each other, even as Christians within the church body. He says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grief against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you.
Beautiful.
Right? God knew they're going to need this in order for the love between them to be real. And if the purpose of the church is to be a reflection of God, then we definitely have to put this into practice and be a little uncomfortable as we're learning what it really means to do it.
How about if I'm the one who needs to go and ask for forgiveness? Well, again, pray.
Yes.
Something has bubbled up in your heart. You see, oh my gosh, I said this, I did this. Ask God if he even wants you to confront the other person and offer your forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a little note. I'm sorry I was so difficult.
Yes.
Please forgive me. No excuses.
Right.
No, but wait, you didn't see it from my point of view.
Right.
And this happened and that. No, none of that. No excuses, no reasons, no justification. Just, hey, I know I hurt you at the family picnic in July. Please forgive me. I wasn't myself. I do love you.
Wow.
Make it simple. Make it sweet. Because the consequences, we're almost out of time here, of not forgiving are you grieve the Holy Spirit. You want to do that? He's your only connection to the Father.
Right. But you know, it's so true, Michelle, that, you know, we just go through these instances where we need to keep our mind on God. That's really the only chance that we have, you know? And just like we are so quick to run into his arms when he says, hey, I do forgive you. We need to be that person for other people sometimes, even if it means things are different now, even if it means I'm still disappointed and I'm working through that. It's not about you. If you really want to be like Jesus, not this better version of yourself, but if you really want to be like Jesus, then you have to have some hard experiences and learn how to work through them with the mind of Christ.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know, I think this is a wonderful topic. I think it's been awesome. I love these practical applications of the word because we need it. We face so much and we need to make sure that we are holding God's hand through all of it. So we just thank you guys so much for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for the rest of the week as we discuss this sacred, sacred aspect of forgiveness in Christ. We love you guys. God bless you. And we hope that you're able to forgive someone from your heart today.
Even if it's yourself.
Amen.